Breaking news, a historic day at the White House as Israel, Bahrain, and the UAE sign peace agreements and economic accords. We'll talk about that and more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Benjamin Netanyahu and representatives from the two Gulf states will sign the Abraham Accords at a ceremony at the White House today with President Trump.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I remember Secretary Kerry saying that if the nuclear deal was abandoned, that Israel would become more isolated, when in fact just the opposite has now happened. They've joined hands and now they have many more partners across the region. Each of those countries, those Gulf states, recognize that the shared threat from the Islamic Republic of Iran is very, very real. And now they are working together, building out security and economic relationships and real ties between these countries. It'll be truly stabilizing for the Middle East.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So we knew about the United Arab Emirates, then Bahrain was announced. We talked about with our special advisor, Rick Rennell, the Kosovo, which is also predominantly Muslim, recognizing Israel. But now that is being formalized as we speak right now. The White House is preparing for the ceremony, the actual signing documents. I'm holding in my hand what like the joint statement would read from the United States and Bahrain. It says, President Donald J. Trump, His Majesty, it's King Al-Khalifa of the Kingdom of Bahrain, and Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel agreed to the establishment of full diplomatic relations between Israel and the Kingdom of Bahrain. And then, and this is the one with the United Arab Emirates, same kind of language, President Trump, Prime Minister Netanyahu, and Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, and Deputy Supreme Commander of the United Arab Emirates, spoke today and agreed to the full normalization of diplomatic relationships between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. What that means is peace, economic, full diplomatic relationships is what you have with your allies. It's what you have with countries that you, again, to have that full, these were countries that did not recognize the existence of Israel before this.
Yeah.
And now they're going to have flights going back and forth, full economic relationships, bring greater peace to the region, and it's freaking out, in a good way, our enemies like Iran. So Iran's foreign minister, of course, had to weigh in on this, and he tweeted out, President Trump desperately needed a campaign photo op, so his son-in-law, he's talking about Jared Kushner, blackmailed their regional clients into giving him one. The only problem is that these peace agreements are not between foes but longstanding allies. That is a conspiracy that Iran has always said that these Gulf states are really pro-Israel,
right,
which is not true. I mean, these were funders of top funders of Hamas, top funders of the, quote, resistance to Israel. They didn't recognize the state of Israel. Israeli athletes couldn't go there and participate in international sporting events, and they could do no business. You know, they could. So whether or not they worked with the United States or not, these countries that have, of course, Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates, if you went into like Abu Dhabi 10 years ago and said you're going to have a peace deal under President Trump in the United States with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel, and in 10 years you're going to recognize Israel as a state, sovereign state, with full diplomatic relations, people would have laughed at you, if not more violently. Because Abu Dhabi is also in the United Arab Emirates. People think of Dubai, but Abu Dhabi is much more conservative of a city, and that's the capital. The fact is, it is that historic, so Iran is freaking out, and they say, yeah, stay tuned for more. Well, what they know is that, as we know, representatives from the country of Oman are also there today. That would make sense for them to also, why not get into this economic relationship with the best economy in the Middle East, Israel?
Yeah, so look, we're going to talk about, when we come back from the break, but Andy and I have negotiated trilateral Middle East agreements. So let me tell you something about this one. This was quite a diplomatic feat. This was an incredible moment, reshaping the history, reshaping the future of the Middle East. You know, Jordan just mentioned quickly that the economic impact. I mean, the idea that planes are going to fly from Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates to Tel Aviv.
This is an incredible thing. And anyone who has dealt with any kind of negotiations in the Middle East knows that it's multi-sided. I mean, 12-faceted. And in order for something like this to have been achieved is a tremendous coup for the President of the United States.
All right, folks, we'll take your calls and questions about this as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. So as we're speaking right now, they're assembling at the White House. It's pretty amazing to see, too, the imagery. The U.S. flag, it's not so unique to see a U.S. flag with the UAE or Bahrain because of our longstanding relationship, but with the Israeli flag and the Star of David in the middle, with not just two peace accords being signed, one with the United Arab Emirates, one with Bahrain, but also a trilateral agreement between Israel, Bahrain, and the UAE on how they'll be working together. Yeah. These are the most dynamic economies in the Middle East. When you talk about the United Arab Emirates, of course, you know Dubai. People know Dubai probably better than they know UAE because of the towers and the economic centerpiece that they are in that region. Israel, again, is the other economic power. So you put together, you have the UAE and Bahrain. You start putting these Gulf states together. Oman is attending. So you put these Gulf, these kingdoms together, and these are also close allies of Saudi Arabia. I mean, this is the block that stops Iran from ever expanding.
Yeah, so here's a couple interesting. One is, I'd like our production team to see if they can get what Jordan just described, which is the picture of the flags, because that is a very symbolic moment to see the flag of Israel, the United States, Bahrain, and the UAE. Now, here's what's going to happen. So the White House is announcing that the agreement has been made. They're going to have complete diplomatic relationships, which means embassies. So, of course, Israel's embassy headquarters now for the United States is Jerusalem. You have the joint economic impact, and as Jordan said, the economies, these are the strongest economies. Flight cooperation, not just cooperation, they're establishing flights between Tel Aviv and the UAE, Tel Aviv and Bahrain, and that will increase tourism, which increase also people getting to know each other, which impacts how people get along. Saudi Arabia is allowing flyover rights, which is significant also. But this is no small accomplishment. This is a huge accomplishment. I think it's the most significant accomplishment in the Middle East in our lifetime because it's multilateral. It's trilateral, and it's, as Jordan said, it's really more than even trilateral.
You know, Jay, from a historical point of view, I think it's important. As a historian, I look and I see, what did they call this? They called it the Abraham Accords. Yeah. Why did they call it the Abraham Accords? Because Abraham is the common father of the whole region. The common father of the Arabs, of the Israelis, the Jews, the common father is finally bringing them together under the banner and at the impetus of the President of the United States. So what this does is not only does it bring them together diplomatically in terms of flights, investment, tourism, security, telecommunications, technology, energy, healthcare, culture, the environment, embassies, finally the normalization of relations between countries that at root and at stake are really historically, Jay, brothers.
Yes, right.
And all moving, these are the countries, when you look at the UAE, when you look at Bahrain, and those who would probably follow as well as Oman, yes, sometimes their dress, you know, where you'll see their formal dress may be non-Western, and the rest of their economy and their culture is very Western. And it's big. Someone's been in that region long before these peace agreements. Yep. They were moving towards the West. They were moving towards a more free and open discussion where things were less censored and people had more rights. Does that mean that it's like the perfect examples of human rights? No, in these countries. But how do you get there? It's like what Andy said is you start seeing each other, working together. And of course, we know in Dubai, they have all these exceptions to the rule already. So it makes sense. These are the ones to take a step forward. I think I believe because of where these are located,
yep,
this is a bigger deal than even like back with Egypt, because these are more stable governments with more stable leaderships. These are kingdoms, not these kind of. They have not had the unrest that Egypt has seen for decades.
No, you're right,
and they also have resources.
And listen, also this sends a message to the Palestinian Authority to get with the program.
Yeah,
and the Israelis are ready to make the Palestinian people to reach their full potential. It's been the leadership of the Palestinian Authority that has stopped that. And now you've got Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and it looks like Oman next, coming together saying, we're not only going to allow these diplomatic relationships, we, as Jordan said earlier, we're recognizing Israel's right to exist. Look at this. For those who are watching on Facebook or Periscope or any other social media platform, look at that. I got chills looking at that. Who would have ever thought we would see that? We were just in Jerusalem 2 years ago for the embassy move. And then John Kerry said, if you pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, Israel would be isolated. Well, there's your isolation. The flags of the United Arab Emirates, the Star of David and Israel's flag, and the United Arab Emirates in Bahrain. I mean, and the United States, of course. So that shot that theory down, John Kerry. Now, David Freeman underscored, who's the ambassador of the United States to Israel, a friend of ours, made a very important statement about this, the importance of why we're calling it the Abraham Accords. Take a listen to number 30.
Abraham, as many of you know, was the father of all three great faiths. He's referred to as Abraham in the Christian faith, Ibrahim in the Muslim faith, and Avraham in the Jewish faith. And no person better symbolizes the potential for unity among all these three great faiths than Abraham. And that's why this accord has been given that name.
Yes, I mean, you listen to that. Now, we know that Oman is there. So they're in attendance. They're watching this. I mean, I think that they're next. And so that's a
How significant do you think Oman coming into this would be?
That's right. I mean, you're talking about one of those shipping routes, you know, where you've got Iran on one side. What you are doing, if you actually look at a map right now, which I'm doing, so I'm kind of looking down. And so if you look at United Arab Emirates, you add Oman to that, and you add, of course, Bahrain, which is an island in the Persian Gulf or the Arabian Gulf, whichever side you want to talk about. That shipping zone, the Straits of Hormuz, all those areas now are not just allies of the United States, but they're also allies of the Jewish state of Israel. I mean, if you're Iran, you now really have to second guess taking any kind of action. Because you survive off those countries,
yes.
You know, taking your raw oil and turning it into gas, turning it into something that could be sold. So I think this affects all of that. If you are Assad and you thought you survived that civil war because of ISIS and the conflict, the three-way fighting that was there, this is very unnerving. If you're the Palestinian Authority, this is unnerving. They're also talking that Sudan could be next. So we're moving then into North Africa. Sudan, remember, they overthrew their leadership. Very isolated from the world. Yep. They don't have the Osama bin Ladens anymore with the money to give the government leaders. They have nowhere to put their oil. They have nowhere to sell it. They're basically banned from the world economy. But if they took a move like this, of course, the economy would be opened up to them. They already overthrew their dictators, so this could be their next step. And I think it actually could go all the way down outside of the Muslim world into this world that Iran has had great influence in, as well as Russia and China. And now, if you're the Russians or the Chinese, you're losing grip.
Yeah, this is so. I was going to say, it's a very important point what he just said, and that is the impact this has on these other countries. But I want to underscore something with because this is important. Trilateral negotiations in the Middle East, and this is coming from people that have done them, is very difficult. And the fact that in a relatively short period of time, you know, you're talking about, let's say this has been worked on for 18 months, whatever it's been, to come to that, we had to do that with in trying to get recognized the Greek Orthodox Patriarch of Jerusalem. To do that, according to an Ottoman-era decree, this is how it works in the Middle East, you had to get the sign-off by the Israelis, the Jordanians, and the Palestinian Authority.
That's right. We had to. We worked there for several weeks in trying to get Patriarch Theophilus, who is the incumbent Greek Orthodox Patriarch of Jerusalem, approved by these three powers. The Jordanians had approved it, the Palestinians had approved it, and the Israelis were holding out and approving. And I remember very clearly, Jay, the morning of Shabbat that we met with Prime Minister Ehud Olmert
at his house,
at his residence.
Negotiated the final deal.
An unprecedented thing to meet on Shabbat, on the Sabbath, with the Prime Minister of Israel. And I remember distinctly him looking, Prime Minister looking at Jay and saying to Jay, "What do you think I should do?" And Jay saying to him, "Recognize the Patriarch of Jerusalem, the Greek Orthodox Patriarch, on behalf of Israel." And 6 weeks later, which is a
time
warp in the Middle East,
six weeks
later, that's like nothing. That's like 3 seconds. The Israelis recognize him, and he remains today the Patriarch, the Greek Orthodox Patriarch of Jerusalem.
Historically, I believe, Jordan, that this accomplishment is as significant as anything we've seen in our lifetime as it relates to the Middle East.
Yeah.
Because it's also just the beginning.
Well, it's different than Egypt. It's different than Jordan. It's different than those peace agreements. Those were the original two, was Egypt and Jordan. And those were both to end wars. So they were kind of like, we're going to end a conflict, but we're still going to have pretty tough borders, which they do. And we're going to work together when we can, but sometimes things won't be great, still like that today. This is not that. These countries had not been at war. You know, the UAE had not been at war with Israel. These are not land borders. Neither had Bahrain. This is about saying, economically, why were we isolating ourselves? And by the way, sending a message that what the Palestinians have been trying to do, whether it's through Hamas or Hezbollah, so whether it's the West Bank or the Gaza Strip, they disagree with. They are totally say they no longer agree with. They're saying either work with Israel or else, because we're now diplomatic partners with the state of Israel. So things have fundamentally changed. We'll take your phone calls on this. We come back at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Our new special advisor, Rick Rennell, is going to be joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast. He was the former ambassador to Germany and, of course, former acting director of national intelligence.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We were talking about Saudi Arabia, too, and some of the other countries that may be following the UAE and Bahrain. We talked about Oman. They're there today. So their representatives are there today. We talked about Sudan. So think about the turnaround there. This was the headquarters for Osama bin Laden. That's where he found his initial first safe haven to create al-Qaeda. And now they may be on as one, you know, the following. We heard from the president directly that this is not the end. This is just the beginning of countries who are going to be signing these new diplomatic relations between their country and Israel and each other. So you, Mike Pompeo was asked directly about Saudi Arabia, because none of this, I will tell you that, even though Saudi Arabia, it's not them signing the accord right now, none of these countries would be able to make these moves without sight.
Right.
Look at the map, look at the money, look at the power, look at the militaries,
yep.
Look at who controls the air. You couldn't have the flights. It wouldn't matter if you made a peace accord if you couldn't fly. I mean, you'd have to go way around countries you don't want to be flying over, like Iraq, like Iran. I mean, but Saudi Arabia is okaying this, in a sense. So they're letting this move on. We know we have the relationship. I say we, the United States has the relationship with Saudi Arabia economically and diplomatically, militarily. But Mike Pompeo was asked, will they be on board with this? Take a listen, Bite 6.
How close is Saudi Arabia to being on board?
I am confident that there are many other countries that will follow what we see. The timing is indeterminate. We'll see. I hope it's soon.
And this is what is interesting. And, you know, Wes Smith is joining us, Skip Ash joins us as well. And I could put this to everybody. And Will just said, the fact that a journalist can even ask the question of that to the Secretary of State right now, how close is Saudi Arabia from signing a peace agreement with Israel? And it's not like a joke. It's not like,
right.
I mean, it's even serious that we're even having that discussion and that this is all coming about after the U.S. says we're putting our embassy in Jerusalem and the whole...
And we pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal.
Pulled out of the nuclear deal with Iran. We were told that... And we're pulling out of, you know, Iraq. We're pulling out of Afghanistan. We've got the Taliban right now is in Doha with Secretary of State Pompeo working on a peace deal so that we can get out of Afghanistan.
Right.
And we were told that, oh, this was withdrawing from the world. And now we're seeing the world that was supposed to, these enemies that were supposed to have this lifelong hate for each other, literally generational hatred since the beginning of time, are now coming together with peace because that hate... was a lot of it was propped up by our State Department,
yep.
And people in our State Department who were anti-Israel.
Yeah, I was going to ask that to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. I'm going to ask it to Skip as well, but let me start with Than. So, Than, one of the issues, George just hit it right on the head, and that is there are people within the State Department, let's be honest, that are not rejoicing that this has happened. I mean,
absolutely
I hate to say
not.
It.
I mean, this has been one of the hurdles that we've faced for a long time at the ACLJ is the bureaucracy inside our foreign service. And Jay, the only way that you get to this point is you have a president who sets U.S. foreign policy back on the course that it needs to be. I just quickly want people to zoom out and think back 4 years ago. We were coming off the Iran deal where we were emboldening Iran. We had just abandoned Israel at the United Nations Security Council. This administration, of course, Jay, came in and directed the State Department to reverse both of those. We left the Iran deal. We set in proper place our policy at the United Nations Security Council. We then quickly moved our embassy. But Jay, when you turn that strategy on its head from the top down, you're not going to try to cozy up to your enemies and abandon your allies. You're going to get closer to your allies, and you're going to isolate Iran and Palestine. This is what you get. The rest of the region sees it just the way Jordan laid it out. Their economic interests, yep. Their peace interests now align with the United States. So when you get the leadership from the top down, you might have problems within the bureaucracy. Jay, they don't have any choice. They follow the directions of the commander-in-chief.
So I want to go to Skip Ash, who heads up our international law practice group, and Skip has done a lot of work in the Middle East with us, and of course has had responsibilities in the military in that regard. But Skip, your thoughts on the significance of this?
Oh, it's absolutely historic. It's amazing what's happening before our eyes. Who would have thought that this would happen in our lifetime, that we would have more and more of these Arab nations actually bucking decades of policy and now coming together. The situation has changed historically because of Iran and its ascendancy. There's fear in the Gulf, and they realize that the real enemy is not Israel. The real enemy is the Shia, the Shiite state of Iran, and they have to somehow stop that. And they're not going to kowtow right now to the Palestinians, who absolutely refuse to do anything. The Israelis have made motions towards them to negotiate. They've said no. It's no, no, no. And finally, the rest of the Arabs have said enough. And in effect, this is really a gift to the Palestinians. It gives them the opportunity to re-look at what's going on and to finally get serious about having a state.
Yeah, we'll see if they take, you know, they've never taken advantage of these opportunities. Oh, Colonel Wes Smith is with us as well, and you served in Bahrain.
I did. I lived there for a year.
Give us a sense of what it's like.
Yeah, I as you said earlier, it is very Western, much like Kuwait and the UAE. They do not enforce a strict dress code. They will dress in traditional dress some, but you also have luxury hotels and, you know, nightclubs and restaurants in places like Bahrain and the UAE. But I lived there for a year. The thing that I remember most about being there, I was assigned to deal with morale, welfare, and recreation for U.S. troops. And the Bahraini army had assigned Crown Prince Ahmed Al-Khalifa to do the same thing. So we worked together on a daily basis. And I remember how over and over Ahmed stressed to me how valuable the United States was and that our strategic relationship was something that simply could not be replaced. And the UAE has come around on that as well. And so I remember him telling me that. But here's the thing that's remarkable about what's happening. In spite of the fact that people like my friend Ahmed and others were so pro-United States, yeah, the anti-Israel sentiment was still so there. And that's part of what is changing, you know.
Yeah, that has changed.
And you know, and I think part of the reason you mentioned the State Department, it has been the policy of both Democrat and Republican administrations for decades to try and solve this problem by giving, you know, financial and verbal support to the Palestinians. And that policy simply has not worked. What the president is bringing to the table is candor and honesty, but also a refusal to look the other way when people are involved in terrorist activities. And the Palestinians have been.
I think you're 100% correct. I think we've got a very unique analysis going on all of these issues here. And I just want to underscore for a moment the historic nature of this, Jordan. This is breathtaking. That when you see those flags, let's put that picture back on the screen for our television audience, and you see the flags of the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and the United States and the Star of David, of course, and the flag of the State of Israel, and you say to yourself, has this happened after we pulled out of the Iranian nuclear arms deal where John Kerry, Jordan, said this will be the Israel will be isolated forever? And then when the United States moved its embassy to Jerusalem, that was going to be the end.
Yes. Oh, yes. There was prophet of doom. The end of the Israeli state. And this is something that I think we need to also emphasize, the fact that we have seen leadership on the part of President Trump. The president said, we're abandoning this ridiculous Iranian deal. We are moving our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and we're going to do this thing, and we're going to press forward and normalize relations between these countries. And I don't think any of this could have been done without the leadership of Donald Trump, and we've got to admit that.
And I think it will symbolize, if those Palestinian leaders who today are saying Hamas and Fatah are now united, they will themselves be thrown off the rooftops. And that's probably what has to happen there. The old school leadership, like what happened to Bashir, they go in, you know, now he's going to be facing an international criminal court trial finally for the genocide. It took years, took decades, but finally the people rose up and said, no more. You're gone. You're done. And I think that will same thing will happen with the Palestinian territories eventually, is that the people are going to say, no, we're not going to blow ourselves up over this anymore. No one else is. Why are we being the ones held out to be like this? 6.5 hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we're talking about the history being made right now inside at the White House. So right now, the president's meeting with the foreign minister, the ambassador from the UAE. So they're there in the Oval Office, and there's going to be a signing ceremony with Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and Israel. Whatever. So this is not just,
Who would have ever thought this would happen? Yeah. This is so great.
These are not peace agreements between the U.S. and these countries. These countries already were working with us. We had that relationship just to get everybody up to speed. These are peace agreements between these Muslim kingdoms, you know, and in the Gulf, which, again, line the Straits of Hormuz, line the shipping routes that Iran tries to, you know, they're threatened all the time and tries to act as if they will take some action against.
I guess they won't be threatening that anymore.
No, and so they are recognizing Israel. That's what's happening today. It's not the U.S. and these countries making peace. That was already the case. They are recognizing for the first time in their histories the Jewish state of Israel as a sovereign nation.
I mean, this is such a momentous moment. And I want to, can I quickly go to Skip on this? Because Skip, I know you, Skip's gone? Okay. Because I was going to say, Skip has really worked with us on this issue for a long time, as has Andy and, you know, so many of us. But it is an essential matter. And the fact that you've got Saudi Arabia allowing flyover rights, and you've got the UAE and Bahrain and Oman coming next, I look at that and focusing on what you just said earlier, Wes, with Bahrain, where you served in the military. This is it's just an unbelievable historic moment.
It can't be overstated. I mean, it's really, I've been so pleasantly shocked and surprised that all this has happened all in the last week with the UAE. This is the first official treaty that any nation in the region has signed with Israel in 40 years.
Yeah, and
40 years of placating terrorism, making promises, giving billions of dollars that simply did not work.
So the great question here is the Palestinian Authority, of course, is feeling abandoned. They have not served their people well. We've worked with Palestinians. We know that. And Andy, they have, every time there's an opportunity, the leadership seems to miss it.
It is the failure of the leadership of the Palestinians that has prevented peace in the Middle East between Israel and the Palestinians.
Around, I mean, you realize what they're doing. They're working around the Palestinian Authority.
But President Trump, even still, says he's hoping to reach out to the Palestinians, yeah, and continues to do this. I hope he's as successful as he was with Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates.
You reach the people, too. You're reaching the people, not the old-school leaders who are not going to get over themselves, but they're being quickly overthrown in these countries. Like we saw with Bashir, like we could easily see with the Palestinian leadership. So today they're calling for a day of rage that seems irrelevant.
A day of rage to who? Against Bahrain, against the United Arab, against Muslim countries?
Against Muslim kingdoms who used to support you and fund you. And
probably
now
still
says,
does give you money.
Likely does, but is going to be looking at it a totally different way. And I think you say it right by saying, why are we working through the Palestinians through the Middle East peace process when they're the least peaceful of all?
And they don't
work
have
through the countries where
anything.
They have no authority. They will not agree to any of these terms. Well, so I think, again, the history here is not just in what we talked about, Kosovo, you know, this predominantly Muslim country. Rick Rinnell, our special advisor, will be joining us next time in the broadcast live. The history there, Bahrain, the UAE, Oman is attending. Sudan has been named as a potential country. The questions are being asked about Saudi Arabia potentially doing this. But all of this could be reversed too quickly. You put a different administration in, and you because Joe Biden has said, you know, he wants to go back to the Iran deal. Let me tell you something. Bahrain and the UAE, if the U.S. does that again, they're not going to be rushing to make deals like this.
No.
Because they're going to feel betrayed.
Well, that's exactly the point. I mean, it would be a return to failed policies, and these have been failed policies for multiple administrations, by the way, Republican and Democrat. It's not just, no. I'm not going to just blame the Democrats. Republicans and Democrats. Now we've got a policy where the governments are actually working together, and they're working around the Palestinian Authority, which will ultimately benefit the Palestinian people. But this is an historic moment, and it'll be very interesting to see what the media does with it. But you know what? I don't care what the media does with it because we've got our own media capabilities. But I will tell you this. For the world, this is a stabilizing moment in world history. Mark this day down. A stabilizing moment in the Middle East, without question.
All right, folks. We'll be right back, joined by our special advisor, Rick Rinnell.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So we've had the leadership from the UAE in the Oval Office. Right now, Prime Minister Netanyahu is in the Oval Office, then at Bahrain, and then the leaders will all go out in the White House. And you've already seen the images to sign these historic, first the accords together, so it's between each country and Israel, so the UAE and Israel and Bahrain and Israel, and as well as a trilateral agreement between those three. And that this is just the beginning. We have our special advisor, Rick Grenell, former acting director of national intelligence. He also former ambassador to Germany. He's joining us live now. And he has been part of this just a couple weeks ago because he serves as an advisor on Kosovo and Serbia. When Kosovo, Rick, a predominantly Muslim country, also agreed to recognize Israel for the first time in its history. So this is just something that's happening very quickly. And again, whatever the media wants to play on it, it is very historic and meaningful.
Yes. Look, first of all, thank you guys for really highlighting all this work. I think there's so many points to make. The reality is that days like today do not happen without an outsider perspective. Mm. The Washington, D.C. establishment has tried to do the same types of political discussions for decades, whether it's with Kosovo, Serbia, or Arab-Israeli peace, or whatever the issue. We need an outsider perspective to shake up Washington, D.C. and their stoic way of thinking. I can't think of a better outcome than what we're witnessing today. And it's because Donald Trump and Jared Kushner and Avi Berkowitz all think differently, and yep. they look at the situation and they talk to people that really were skeptical for a long time about America's role. And they see, the reality is that this would not have happened if we had continued in the JCPOA, if we had continued in the Iran deal and sent a terrible message to the Middle East that we were going to somehow get on a path, a weak path that we all know will give Iran a nuclear weapon. When Donald Trump said, no, I don't care what the Europeans say, I don't care what the UN says, our goal is to deny Iran a nuclear weapon, and we're going to work hard through sanctions to make that happen. When that decision was made, it sent a powerful message to the Emiratis and the Bahrainis and all of the Sunni governments to say, well, here is an American government that is doing something different, standing with us, and clearly standing for standing against the problem country in the region. It would not have happened if we listened to the Europeans. The Europeans did not want us to get out of the JCPOA. They want us to continue down these paths where consensus
right.
is the ultimate goal. And that just means...
I think we're having some trouble with Rick's feed. Let's see if we can get that back. One of the things Rick said that I think is really important, and something that we've reiterated here too, is that there's been 40 years of attempts that have just not worked. I mean, if you look at the history of what's happened in the region as it's related to peace, they've tried all these plans and it's never worked. And it's always been with the Palestinian Authority, Rick, kind of in the middle of it. And this time, a whole new approach, as you said, completely outside the framework that it's been for 40 years. I believe that's what's got it to this point.
Look, consensus is one of those words that sounds really good. Joe Biden is pounding consensus. But consensus means that the United States puts forward ideas and then it gets watered down by the UN Security Council or Brussels at the for the EU. Consensus is something that I believe waters down a potent American policy. We would not have today and this historic agreement. We would not have the Kosovo-Serbia economic normalization agreement if we continue down the road of consensus. These are just the facts.
Yeah, I mean, Rick, this is one of the issues I would see as big barriers to these kind of moves happening is a lot of our own bureaucracy, too, that I know you've had to deal with as the ambassador to Germany, as acting director of national intelligence. I can imagine in our own State Department, because dealing with them on a lot of these matters, that they're the bureaucrats, long-term bureaucrats, who don't like this because they kind of had an a very kind of anti-Israel bent. And they thought that Israel was the problem in the region and that Israel was this barrier to peace in the region. And so you had to have an administration that you said, like, they would come in with its own people and work around those bureaucrats, dealt with a lot of the consequences of what it means to drain the swamp. It means that, you know, they come after you with special counsels and they come after you with impeachments. They come after you with, trying to subpoena everybody. But you have to, if you don't do it this way, like you said, you don't get to this point. You put Joe Biden back. He wants to put it back in the Iranian nuclear deal. He said that publicly, Rick.
Yeah. Look, I think like every industry, whether it's journalism, medicine, even Christianity, right? We have bad apples within each individual kind of groupings. And the Foreign Service has that problem. We have bad apples that have been able to take over and hijack the process. But make no mistake, the majority of the Foreign Service really want to move issues forward. When given a challenge, they will push hard. Not to get too much into the weeds, but moving the embassy to Jerusalem.
Yeah, that was big.
Was truly historic because what it did for the State Department and the Foreign Service officers is it moved the issue of Israel to Jerusalem. We used to have a consulate in Jerusalem that only coordinated with the Palestinians, or largely coordinated with the Palestinians. And then in Tel Aviv, we coordinated with Israel. Now we have an embassy in Jerusalem that's doing everything, that is not just pro-Palestinian, but it's actually working towards peace. And we have Foreign Service officers who, working with Jared Kushner in the White House, were given a vision and worked hard on this vision. We got to also give credit to David Friedman, our ambassador in Israel, amazing guy who also believed, like Jared and the president, to try something different. We talk a lot about Donald Trump's style. His style works, and his style as an outsider thinking differently is what's giving us this historic agreement today.
You know, you mentioned David Friedman, the ambassador to Israel from the United States, a good friend of ours, and he really has done a tremendous, obviously under the guidance and leadership of the president, has done just an incredible job. Rick, I want to change gears for a minute here, not to take away from this, because this is really historic.
The last thing I want to say is to Rick, is that people like David Friedman, who went through horrendous confirmation hearings, saying you're too pro-Israel, you're too pro-Jewish, you're going to cause war in the region. They'll say similar kind of things about you, Rick. They do. You're the people bringing together these historic peace accords. It's Rick Rinnell getting Kosovo, helping along Kosovo. He's in the meeting there as a special representative to recognize Israel. It's David Friedman putting together Bahrain and the UAE and many other countries that will likely follow suit.
Yeah, I know personally what it's like to have a messed up confirmation, long and dirty, and I have to again shout out to Jay Sekulow, who was incredibly helpful to my confirmation process. Such a friend, such a strong supporter. So I can't thank you guys enough for that.
Well, look, I mean, the we've seen what has been accomplished. So these were the right positions to take. Let me, as we're closing this segment out, Rick, I lived for. Jordan did, so did Andy Economo, who's with us here too. We lived for 3 years on the special counsel probe to find out in the last few days that the lawyers we dealt with on a daily basis, when the Inspector General of the Department of Justice asked for their phones because of all this stuff going back and forth, all of them spontaneously combusted, so to speak. They wiped themselves out, or they put in the wrong numbers, the wrong passcodes. They had, I called it passcode amnesia. And these were the guys from Harvard and Yale that were going to beat us, which they didn't. But they did this. If anybody else did it, be called destruction of evidence. What was your take on that whole thing?
It's destruction of evidence. This is outrageous. You shouldn't be protected by working in the government. Look, we've got a real problem in Washington, D.C., where individuals really try to hide information. And it works, right? I mean, it usually works in Washington, D.C. Everybody knows you spoon-feed the Americans. American people are stupid, and that's what you're supposed to believe in Washington, D.C. It's the exact reason why Nancy Pelosi goes to San Francisco, gets her hair done without a mask, and then is outraged that the salon owner says, wait a minute, what's going on? And then the rules that Nancy Pelosi plays by is that she asks for an apology for breaking the code, right? For outing her for breaking the rules. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to stay silent when she's breaking the rules. This is the Washington.
No, well, listen, great job. Thanks for being with us, Rick. As always, great insight. We appreciate your work on all these issues very much.
Rick will have a new piece up at ACLJ.org this week, as he does each week, and he'll be joining us later in the week as well. It's great to have Rick Rinnell again. You're getting it for folks who are in these meetings, who are doing this work, who are now special advisors to the American Center for Law and Justice, to help walk you through this process. And his new pieces will be up, I think, tomorrow or Thursday, and he'll be joining us again at the end of the week as well. It's great to have him on. It's great to have his insight on all those issues. We'll be right back taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 on Jay Sekulow Live on this historic day.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So it's great to be joined by again our special advisor, Rick Rennell. You have a former cabinet member talking to you on Jay Sekulow Live as part of the ACLJ team a couple times a week. He's writing for the ACLJ website to bring you this insight. So that is not just a guest of the broadcast. That's someone working with us at the American Center for Law and Justice, who is also still in roles putting together peace plans, like the one where the majority Muslim country of Kosovo for the first time is recognizing the Jewish state of Israel. And then now we have Bahrain and the UAE, and we've got a lot of calls about this. People have been holding on. Let's go to Frank in Florida online too. Frank, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. Listen, I got a question. It's a historical question, as a matter of fact. Since this is taking place now, have we forgotten about the Camp David Accords back during President Carter's administration?
No, we haven't forgot about them. Unfortunately, they didn't bear the fruit that we would have liked to have seen. I mean, it did normalize to some extent relations between Jordan and Egypt. The problem with Egypt has been, of course, that Egypt has had such a tumult in their government, Wes, that it's although right now it's okay, it's been very hard to see those things come to fruition.
It really has been hard. And, you know, back when Yasser Arafat was head of the PLO, sort of they're still around, but the predecessor to the PA, they agreed to recognize finally Israel, its right to exist. But what a lot of people don't realize is 2 years ago, they totally reneged on that, and they no longer recognize the right of Israel to exist.
Never happened.
You don't achieve peace by placating people who are committing active terror.
And also they were at war. I mean, I think that's a difference. They were literally at war with each other.
Yes.
So these were almost
Hamas
like...
Hamas and...
Well, no, I mean, but Egypt... Listen, Egypt was about to be wiped out. Cairo could have been taken over by the Israelis, so they were like forced into these agreements.
Yes.
And it didn't end well for either leader. So it ended badly domestically for Sadat and then of course for Prime Minister Menachem Begin too. I mean, it did not end well. Their people did not accept it, and they ended up both assassinated. So it was almost like that. Those were more like peace agreements post-war without the transition that we did in Germany.
Yeah, it was Yitzhak Rabin that was assassinated.
Yeah.
Oh, I literally assassinated
him. Yes. Yeah. I mean, so you try to... Those are peace agreements. Again, I don't consider the same because the UAE was not in armed conflict with Israel up until yesterday. The Bahrain wasn't in armed conflict. Their people were not killing each other in that sense. So you're already 10 steps past the kind of generational change that you're going to have of people getting over the fact that you were at war. These countries weren't. They may have been funding different sides of different battles, but they were also oftentimes on the same side of diplomatic issues. They have a common enemy, Iran. They also have a common friend, the United States. So they have two things that brings them together. The one divider was this Palestinian issue. And as we just talked about with Rick Rennell, it's working around that. And so I don't see these are not the same as like a peace agreement with Jordan or a peace agreement with Egypt, because it isn't just an end to warfare.
No, I think you're 100% correct. And I think, so Than, I've got one quick question. I know we got to get these calls too. And that is, what is the Washington establishment reaction to this, or do we know yet?
I think it's going to be along the lines of what Jordan just talked about, really because of the cumulative nature to it. I mean, it's quickly filling in the map. And Jay, I think that's what Jared Kushner was talking about. I think that's going to be the reaction in Washington, D.C. when he said, look, over the last 70 years, you only had two agreements. Now you've had two more in a month. I think you'll probably have two more in the next month. Pretty soon, Jay, the Palestinians and the Iranians, they just run out of space on the map.
Exactly.
So I suspect there will probably be a lot of quietness on the left side of the aisle.
Yeah.
But I think everybody knows how significant it is.
Yep.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Robin in Georgia on line
really
5. Robin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, Jay and everyone, great show. What do you think the UN response and the deep state response is going to be? But I think you just kind of answered that
bit. Yeah, well, the UN question is a really good one, Robin. That's a good question. And I'm going to, you know, Than is, of course, our representative of the UN. I will tell you this. This is not what the UN wanted to happen. This sounds crazy. But Andy, it's not what the this is not what the international elites want it to happen.
That's right. The international elites want them to be the ones to do these things. They don't want one outlier like the president of the United States to be the one who brokers the peace right. deal. So they will poo-poo it. They'll say it's nothing. They'll say we still have problems with the Palestinians and the Israelis, and they will make this deal minimize. Well, it's not a minimal deal.
No.
It's a very important deal to have normalization of relations between UAE and Bahrain and Israel is something that is tremendous. But the fact that it was brokered by and pushed by the president of the United States will cause the United Nations to say that it is less than the historic event that it really is.
Dan, quickly. I can imagine
when
what you're
thinking. When the next censure comes to the floor of the United Nations General Assembly, Jay, there is an entirely new list of countries in the region who won't play along. It's very significant at the United Nations.
I actually think it's made, when President Trump has talked about this as well, it's made the UN somewhat irrelevant.
Yep.
And this is what Rick Renell was talking about. No more are we going to say, if you keep President Trump as president and you let him continue this, you keep letting him put people like Rick Renell in place and Friedman in place and others that you may have never heard of before, like these negotiators like Berkowitz, who we talked about, who are not the names that you hear about in the news every single day. It will go back to the same. So it's not like the UN is irrelevant forever. But if you keep President Trump there, I mean, think about this. The two most despised leaders by the UN are probably number one, Netanyahu, and number two, Trump.
Yeah.
Okay? And they're the ones putting together peace in the Middle East for the first time historically with countries, again, the Gulf states, not countries that were at war. They're not brokering peace deals just to basically say, stop shooting each other, stop killing each other. They're saying, these are real diplomatic relationships and economic relationships. The president is talking now. Let's take a listen.
More to follow. Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain will establish embassies, exchange ambassadors, and begin the cooperate and work together so strongly to cooperate as partners across the broad range of sectors, from tourism to trade and healthcare to security. They're going to work together. They are friends. The Abraham Accords also opened the door for Muslims around the world to visit the historic sites in Israel and to peacefully pray at Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, the third holiest site in Islam.
Jump in right there. So you talk about when the UN wants to secularize everything, and our State Department, as Rick said, most of the people there, you heard it right from him, are good people that just needed guidance, because it made no sense, our position in Israel, having this two with this consulate in Jerusalem and embassy in Israel and in Tel Aviv, and where are we supposed to do it? How are we supposed to do things? So it's confusing to our own foreign service folks, but that there are the bad apples too, and the bad apples kind of rose to the top. And we saw that in different parts of our bureaucracy. You also can't secularize everything. Religion plays a huge role here, the different faiths. You just heard it from our president. Part of this deal is that Israel, like the United States, has freedom of religion and would want to welcome those from the UAE and Bahrain to be able to worship at their holiest sites.
Right.
Now they can. They can be religious tourists. Just like we are to Israel, Christians go as religious tourists, so now can Muslims from the UAE and Bahrain.
And, I need to say this about Bahrain, because you just mentioned that. Wes, you've got an article going up today.
This afternoon, correct.
What's that on?
It's about this whole issue, how significant it is, and some of the history of Iran trying to disrupt peace and sow discord in the region.
Right. The president just said he expects there's five more nations to follow. So those are coming out, which means that those are happening. So we'll talk about that tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.